All right, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us on the Sabbath day, as you do each and every Sabbath, with your presence and the changing of the showbread. Please bridle my tongue and any tongue that speaks so that you and you alone are glorified. And thank you for blessing us with understanding, retention, discernment, faith, wisdom, everything that we need to go forth and to glorify you. Father, we pray constantly each and every day, as your word says to do, for the latter rain, and so we continue on that path of seeking to gain the divine nature of your Son, so that we can go forth during the time that the loud cry gets exceedingly loud, so as to bring many souls into the truth. And so, Father, please bless our efforts. Bless us with hedges of angels to keep us safe as we do the work. And thank you for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are in need of salvation first, and then even physical healing second. We thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we thank you also for hearing this prayer and blessing it in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. You want to welcome Michael 32 up there? I think we were talking an email. I don't know if you're the same guy, but still, if you are, I still haven't found that one website that's translated a lot of the stuff on my website into Polish, which, you know, is nice, you know, because... And the as many already know, Google is blocking me. Well, they've been censoring me for years. They were the second ones to do it. The first one was, of course, AOL. I got two pages on the site about that. But Google now recently blocked the translator that I built into the main menu. I don't know why they didn't block the one that I made into the blog, which, by the way, is going to be changing. I'm going to discuss that after church services, because I need some advice and some of your ideas. But... please keep it in prayer that we do have ways to get the truth out there in many different languages. Even if I have to pay for it, I'll look for a translation service or app, if you will, that we can build into the system that does not use Google Translate. You know, and I don't want to use Dragon, naturally speaking, or anything that has anything to do with Satan. I don't want any of that that disgusting stuff that's already out there. But anyway... we're on question number 3 of lesson 31, and this lesson is all When All Religions Unite. That's the title. And the question for number 3 is, what are we told about these unclean spirits? And obviously we were discussing that in question 2 and 1, you know, the unclean spirits that come out of the mouths, you know, like the frogs. And so the answer to the question is Revelation 16:14. Which says, thank you, Brother Gordon, it says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. And I find it very interesting that the Lord mentions the kings of the earth first here, because they go after the political leaders of our world first. And this is why most political leaders, I would think the overwhelming majority in the high 90 percentile, are devil worshipers. And you can even see that in the inception or the infancy of the United States of America. Not when it was first formed. It was the lamb, the lamb horned beast is what it's prophesied to be. But in the beginning, when it started out, it was because of religious persecution that this nation came to be. Catholic Church was killing Christians left and right, and so people came here for freedom, spiritual and, you know, religious freedom and regular, you know, physical freedom. But later on, when the nation started forming and started doing this and started doing that and building buildings and building roads and whatnot, it's obvious the fix was already in. And if you go to my USA or National Pride page on the website, which is actually just remnantofgod.org/USA.htm, I got aerial pictures of Washington, D.C., and so you could see way in the beginning I don't know exactly when, but it's obviously when they were building the roads. They have designed satanic symbols in the streets of Washington, D.C., which is actually, you know, a completely different country. It is not America. It is a different country. But they have two different ways of doing things, everything from straw man to just using, you know, and a lot of people know about the straw man thing with the, you know, why your name is in all capital letters on all your credit cards and anything you get from the IRS. It's all capital letters because you are a different person. That's, they look at you as a product, whereas, you know, if you, the natural man does not have all caps, but I don't go into a lot of detail about that because it's a de facto government, just like Rome when it was controlling Jerusalem back in the day, 2,000 years ago. So there's really nothing we can do about it anyway, and Romans chapter 13 says for us to just more or less stay the course, obey the powers that be that were put there by our Lord. They're going to have to deal with their spanking later. We just have to obey them to the best of our ability, unless, of course, they say that we have to keep Sunday holy. We all know that if they push laws, they try to get us to do things that the Bible says we should not do, or even like what's going on with Acts chapter 5, verse 29 in our day. They try to remove free speech in the Apostles' day. We know what Peter and the others said, that we ought to obey God rather than men. Well, we got to say, more or less, echo the same thing, because that's why I built the page on the website about free speech. They're doing whatever they can. But anyway, getting back to this, the study goes on to say the following in the answer of the question. And it's spiritualism is here depicted as one of the greatest deceptions in the last days. Spirits of devils working miracles may appear as ministers of righteousness, heavenly messengers, or as departed loved ones. And then it says the seed lesson number 10, and I think that's about the state of the dead. But anyway, it says these miracles performed by the power of demons will be presented as proof of the divine origin, or our only safeguard against deception is a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. And then continuing, it says, the belief that the dead are conscious is held by nearly every Protestant denomination, which shows Vatican infiltration, because it was never believed that way. But like, just look at what Mary and Martha said when Jesus was talking about raising Lazarus. And so the Christians, the early Christians, knew about the state of the dead. And today, no, the Catholics have infiltrated and make everybody think that you go straight to heaven or straight to hell at death. And that's not what the Bible says. But they got to keep that going. Otherwise, that demon that showed up in 1917 that said she was Mary wouldn't work. If you believe that that's your dead grandma sitting at the end of your bed one night, 4 o'clock in the morning, talking to you, then it'll work. But if you know it's just a demon and you know the state of the dead, well, then that demon's not going to show up as your dead grandma sitting at the end of the bed, because you keep yourself in scriptures. You like the study says, you have a thorough knowledge of the word. So, again, the belief that the dead are conscious is held by nearly every Protestant denomination lays the foundation of spiritualism. Hold on, I just had a server alert here. Give me a second. Okay, there's going to be an echo. Oh, I stopped it. Didn't get an echo. Good. All right. So our only safeguard, of course, is the scriptures. And let's see. It lays the foundation of spiritualism and is the first great error through which Satan unites the people under his deceptions. This, with the error of Sunday sacredness, unites the denominations and binds them with Rome. And, yeah, like I'd say, if you were to come across a statement like that 100, 200, 300 years ago, it'd be hard to see what they're talking about here, what he's talking about. But in today's world, it's easy. You know, for those of us that have eyes to see, and just by looking at what's going on in the news on a daily basis, we know what, you know, there has already been a line drawn. There are Christians, and then there are the people that claim to be Christians. And the majority of the people on the planet, like in Noah's day, claim to be believers, and they're not. They're just plain not. So this is also why I did the State of the Dead video many years ago, and the much larger and in-depth page on the State of the Dead years ago before that, because I was a Christian, and I was into the manifestations and knew all about this demonic movement. Because before, now think about this too, I was a devout Roman Catholic, saying the rosary every day, going to mass every morning, and I was a Eucharistic minister. Even I stood up there right next to the priest handing out that little cookie, a wafer. And but yet I was still into astral projection, psychokinesis, you know, manifestations, conjuring and stuff like that. And so we thought, we had the poltergeist thing, we thought, but didn't realize it's just a demon. But we had an awful lot, especially the older children, our oldest kids, saw things with their eyes as well. And which is, I'm still kicking myself and, you know, for that to this day, because it could have crippled some of their, and I'm sure it did cripple some of their walk, if you will. But the thing here is that they know there are two different worlds. And so at the same time, I hope and pray that the Lord will bless them with using that as an advantage to let them realize that, yeah, when people are dead. They're just sleeping, like the Bible says. Just to give a quick summary of what my wife and I saw over the, as our four oldest children, was that that we called a poltergeist. Being a dabbler as I was in the occult, I welcomed such things into my home and quite often enjoyed the events that occurred so much that I would share them with friends and family, even though they were quite frightening at times. Many outside the family witnessed these things as well and were very frightened, some even to tears, like some of the teenagers that would babysit for us. We saw everything from what appeared to be an ancient book with strange hieroglyphics, I guess, floating in the room with what appeared, it looked like religious symbols on it. And then, of course, we also saw outlines of people and even little children in spirit form. So, I mean, and then you had this personal items would be placed in strange places in the, even though, you know, you threw your keys on the kitchen table, all of a sudden they're hanging on some, you know, hook on the edge of a curtain or something, you know, like, you know, that holds the curtain up. How they get up there, you know, stuff, weird stuff. And then the TVs, the radios, lights would turn on and off at unexpected times. And yes, this kind of stuff would follow me everywhere I went, too. I mean, one such event was when I was at a Christmas party in the home of my boss, and his well-decorated tree was just slowly spinning, even though I later discovered there was no spinning motor at the base. Because I made, you know, comment to him about this. As you know, I've seen spinning trees before, and I always thought it was ridiculous. They went too fast. I like the way yours does. It goes nice and slow where you can see every section of the tree. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't got no... So he lifted up the thing that he hit, like the gifts, and moved him out of the way. I said, look, it's just sitting in the stand. I says, all right. I never went any further with that because I didn't want to say anything to him. And, you know, all the employees were there, but I thought that was odd. And no, I never conversed with any of these demons claiming to be dead loved ones, but some did frequent my dreams, causing nightmares that you just can't imagine. And during all this time, I was a devout Roman Catholic. And I thought I was walking with the Lord, as I should. And so, yeah, this is, as the study intimates, all these apparitions convinced me that when people died, they went straight to heaven or straight to hell, and that belief alone made it possible for me to, to delve into the occult. Just like for people to believe that that's Mary hanging on some tree, talking to three little kids in some grotto in Lourdes, France, or Fatima. But as soon as I found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and left the Roman Catholic Church, all that demonic activity ended immediately and never again returned. It was amazing how quickly it just disappeared. And reason being is because I was now actually reading and better yet, believing the Bible and all that it said about the state of the dead as well as the demons that would twist the truth so as to, you know, lure many into strange ways of worship. And so the devil, it's just like with Peter, you know, when he was tempted three times to deny Christ, the devil didn't come up and tempt him the fourth time because he knew, okay, conversion has happened. He's going to stand his ground firm now. Well, same thing happened with you when you found Christ as Savior. So a lot of the things that you used to have a real problem with in your early walk, you know, like the whopper sins we always think about or shouldn't think about that we did before we met Christ, they actually become very revolting after you meet Christ. And so the devil, of course, regroups and figures out other ways to go at you. So I praise the Lord to this day that he revealed his love and his truth to me in ways that made all that I thought was cool about the occult come off exactly as it is. Rotted corpses of demons spewing lies, of which they only did just to trick me into joining them in the flames of hell because they were so angry about being kicked out of heaven for their sheer unadulterated rebellion against the most love-filled God that does all he can to make our lives peaceful and happy, no matter how short they may be the side of the flood of Noah, you know, because we don't live that long now. So if any of you young people that are listening think it's all cool and spooky to tell your friends about what a demon did before your eyes, you ought to see what the obedient angels can do. Better yet, if you accept Christ Jesus as Lord, those demons you lift up as awesome will run from you in abject fear because of the truth that is in Jesus is not only the most powerful aspect of his word. It allows us as Christians to do things we could never imagine possible before meeting Christ. And that's why I like to bring that stuff up, because I saw what I saw, as well as many people that I know, and so I can relate in regards to that. And here, and even in the midst of all that, and even though I thought it was cool and, you know, and telling my buddies about it and stuff like that, there were times that it scared the daylights out of me, the stuff that would happen, and to the point where I can remember many a time that I'd be working on the computer late at night. And yeah, I had computers back then. It was the old green screen days, but I was, you know, toying with them at that time, making my own software. And I would sit there late at night, like I've always done, and things would start happening. I was just, all right, forget it. I shut the computer off, go to bed, because it would just scare me, you know, because it was just totally unnatural. And you didn't, even though I thought it was cool, I knew I couldn't trust anything that was, you know, manifesting, if you will. So anyway, this next question is, this threefold religious union will lead to the gathering together of whom? And Revelation 16:14 again, I guess, says, for there are spirits working, spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and unto the whole world to gather them to the battle of, and that day of God Almighty. For some reason, that back part is missing here. Let me add it. Day of God Almighty. I don't know why that's missing from my notes. So, no longer don't. But anyway, if you recall, I did a video back in June of 2011 titled By Beholding Most Become Killers, wherein I show how the troops of Satan's day of Armageddon are being readied for battle. Just as the army in modern day trains the soldier to not only fight, but to have no disregard for the life of the enemy. Or no regard, rather. Actually, that would be better understood that way. But Satan has been readying the masses to have no regard for the lives of their neighbors, their classmates, their co-workers, friends, and even their own family members. And yes, just so you know, this also has to do with why Jesus stated in Matthew 24:12 that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because unless the sins of mankind go off the charts, there is no way for Satan to get the people to kill each other. I mean, after all, you know, when the Lord Jesus is in the heart, a perfect love for everyone is cultivated, and so the opposite is true when Satan is allowed entry into the heart. A hellish hatred grows, and especially against anyone they know to be a Christian. And no, most don't purposely point out Christians as the reason for their hatred. It's the demon in them that sees the Holy Spirit in us that gets fires of hatred to grow within them. So look around. Do you not see how the people of the world are growing more and more hateful? Especially here in America? I mean, okay, that's kind of like a redundant, or rather a, what would you say, rhetorical? Yeah, okay, there's the word. I was looking at a rhetorical question. In other words, you don't have to answer. We all know what we're looking at here. I mean, the last few decades and the fads alone and the means of entertainment paint a very ugly picture, while at the same time confirm the prophecy's been fulfilled. I mean, sports have become so violent now that people pay to watch men and women beat each other senseless. Seriously. I mean, well, you know that. And some have actually died in the ring because it's considered a sport. And that way the killer is never arrested for murder. Imagine that. I mean, seriously, no one ever notices that at all. The boxer. I mean, or just a cage match fighter, or even a simple football player who gets a little bit too zealous and kills his opponent, is never tried for murder. And everyone in the stands is okay with that. Can you see the mindset being, indoctrinated there? Well, it's sports, Nicholas. It's just sports. Well, does that make a difference? Someone died. I mean, not a single person has ever stepped forward, as I recall, to demand murder charges to be brought against these killers, ever. Unless, of course, they were overwhelmingly, obviously, trying to kill the person. But and what about the video game industry? Children and adults alike kill countless people each and every second of the day in very realistic video games, and some of them act out their bloodlust by trying it out on real and unsuspecting victims. I remember some of the statements that, I mean, how many times have we heard teenagers who kill, say that they wanted to see what it was like to kill someone in real life, at least once. Seriously, I remember this young girl who killed a little boy because she was killing so often in a video game that she wanted to see, because the video games are, I mean, it's not like it was in the green screen days. I mean, the video games are real graphic now, and I haven't played a game in decades. And so I don't know, but I've seen some of the, you know, the commercials that pop up when you're trying to do video research. And some of these video games, they just look real. And then you see, you know, like somebody gets shot and the blood splatters everywhere. I mean, it changes you. It makes you bloodthirsty. And all of them, every one of them, every single one of these young teenagers that ended up killing somebody and got caught, they all admit their video games is what brought them to that point. And yet they still sell the video games because Satan needs to get those troops ready. I mean, look at the music industry in the same way. I recall back in 1985 how Judas Priest, a satanic rock band, wrote a song that was filled with subliminal messaging that told teenagers repeatedly to kill themselves. And then two teenagers did just that. Even though both teens shot themselves the exact same night, one of them survived 3 years before finally succumbing to his injuries. He blew half his face off. So it was a shotgun. And so in that time, it was made apparent by the one teen that the music is what he said moved him to do it. As the song would say over and over again in reverse, he literally stated in writing that the song, in the song that moved them to both shoot themselves. I mean, the band did actually end up in court because of this, but their lawyers were able to twist reality just enough in the courtroom that they were never convicted, even though everyone can play the song today and hear the same suggestions to do it, which is, of course, referring to suicide. But they went a little further with this because they actually ended up in a courtroom, but here's the key thing. It's just like sports. It's or someone that says they went out and they committed a murder because of what they saw in Hollywood, like a movie. Well, the guy was just acting. You can't take it for little. And a lot of these guys with the gun control saying, well, I guess the people can't tell the difference between someone acting with a gun on camera to some actually using a gun in real life. I said, that's a cop-out. You know it's done with extreme graphic ability now, especially with CGI. They could really make it look like that person died now. And that affects people. There's not everybody's on the same, you know, plateau when it comes to mindsets. There's people out there that just don't have the ability to understand and or separate reality with fiction. And so they act accordingly. But yet they got away with this murder. Because that's what I look at it, is they murdered these two teenagers because those kids listened to that song and did what the song said to do. But because it was a song, it was okay. Or because it was a cage match and he killed a guy, well, it's okay. It's just a sport. You know, plus I looked back on this and I actually dug this up again, and I found that the judge did admit that there was subliminal messages, but he still let the band off scot-free. It was stated in the court the following. This is what they said in the courtroom. It says, Whitehead's final ruling, in fact, determined that there were subliminals on the album, noting that the messages the plaintiffs argued had been buried in the mix were only discernible after their location had been identified and after the songs were isolated and amplified. And what kid doesn't have it blaring through his headphones, right? Anyway, going on, it says, the sounds would not be consciously discernible to the ordinary listener under normal listening conditions. Well, that's a cop-out, too, because we all know how subliminal messaging works. And they actually proved that. I mean, how ridiculous is that? I mean, the judge who was employed by the government claimed that the sounds would not be concerned or consciously discernible to the ordinary listener under normal listening conditions, but the very same government that signs his check has been researching and using subliminal messaging in the media for decades as a way to learn how to better manipulate us by using what this judge said was no big deal and let the guys off scot-free. I mean, pretty ironic, too. I mean, I remember some scientists using this method of backward masking, is actually called, because I did, when I first found Christ, my main thing, well, my main thing was, of course, exposing Antichrist, but my second thing was exposing backward masking. Because one of my little brothers was into a rock band, and they were getting popular, and I was trying to show him some of the music, and he was heavy into Judas Priest. He could imitate him. And so I was trying to show him the dangers and all this other stuff, and I found an awful lot of stuff about subliminal messaging, and I even showed him where they had this scientific experiment where there's this one woman who, when she went to sleep, they did a sleep thing, you know, experiment, and while she's sleeping, they had this thing with white noise, like a radio, sitting next to her, but in there was a man speaking, but you couldn't tell because it was done subliminally. In other words, he was speaking in reverse. That's the best way for subliminal messaging to work, is to speak in reverse, because that's Satan's native tongue. And it actually works. Just like the eyeball, for example. The eyeball works in the exact same way. Your eyeball's round. Have you ever looked inside the face of a spoon? Your head's upside down, ain't it? Right when you're looking at a spoon. Well, everything you look at, including the computer screen you're looking at right now, is upside down on the back of your eyeball. Your brain flips it. And then if it makes sense, stores it. But if it makes sense upside down, it'll store it too, subliminally though, in your subconscious. Well, the same thing works with the ears. If someone says something to you in reverse and it makes no sense, the brain flips it. And then if it makes sense, it stores it. But it also does the same thing if it makes sense on the reverse. It's really hard to explain in just a couple of seconds. But that's how it works. You can't really discern what the words are, especially like with Led Zeppelin, the way Robert Plant would moan and groan. He would slur on purpose sometimes. Because when you slur or moan or groan with a word at the beginning or the end of the moan, it's going to come out a completely different word. And the subconscious mind is going to pick it up. And Satan knows it, because that's how he communicates. And here they admit. But getting back to that woman, she's sleeping, and so the next morning they wake her up, and then they do something else, which is just more or less witchcraft. They hypnotize her, and they ask her to repeat what she heard from the man speaking in reverse. She not only repeated it word for word, she repeated it forward. She didn't repeat it backwards. And so, but what amazed me is how the lawyers were also able to claim free speech protected the writers of the song, and so nothing could be done. Like sports. But at the same time, the free speech agenda of Rome was just beginning, wherein what we now see is clear and present danger against the remnant Christian church. And no, it won't stop us from doing as prophecy said will be done. I mean, Acts 5:29 is pretty clear, but it will make some of the weaker in the faith give up out of fear that there's a lion in the streets, as Proverbs 26:13 states, the lazy Christian is going to say. And then there's Hollywood, and I'll finish with this because we're getting right on the edge. And they have not only used pictorial subliminal messaging in theaters where they flash it real quick, because the human brain can pick it up, but a lot of people don't. Like the hand is quicker than the eye thing. This is why a lot of these magicians use this sleight of hand right in front of you, because there's ways to manipulate even the eyes. But they've been using that for decades in theaters for the point. They did it to the point where laws actually got passed. I remember in the 70s, they made it illegal for them to flash a hamburger or a popsicle or something at drive-in movies. But then all of a sudden, a decade later, they ignore it. The movies, the sitcoms, the reality TV, and news reports are now filled with all sorts of violence to better condition the masses into seeing no wrong with killing people. And they could do this subliminally, too. I remember one time, me and Fran were watching TV. We weren't Christians at the time. We were watching something. I think it was on tape. And I says, oh, did you see that? And she goes, yeah, I saw it. We both saw it at the same time. It was a music video. And for a split second, we just happened to blink at the right time, and our eyes opened up at the exact time, and we saw a man coming from behind this one pretty girl sitting in, I guess, a grassy field with a flowing gown on or something. I can't remember exactly how that went. But I remember this very evil black character I mean, just painted black. You couldn't tell if it was a, well, you could tell it was a man, but there was no feature. It was just a black image, like a shadow, with this big blade just coming at the woman just for a split second. That's also subliminal, you know, messaging. So compile all that with legalized abortion and doctor-assisted suicide. One can see the prophecy fulfilled very easily now. By beholding, they become changed. But only if you have eyes to see it. Only a Christian that reads the Bible and believes prophecy can see that Satan is indeed making sure everyone beholds as much evil as they can so they can be changed or trained to be the very soldiers he needs to surround the Gideon band on that great and dreadful day. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.